Now you drift and notice there's something in your hand. You don't really know where it came from, but it feels like the right thing. A symbol of the changes to come. Was that thought entirely your own? Or did it come from outside? You run the fingers of that hand over it, or the pads, and though you consider putting it around your neck, you realize you should just hold on to it. Let the state you're in seep into it, so it becomes an anchor in memory, to return you here. Besides, it feels right, holding it in your paw. Wait, paw? Well, yes, that seems right. Any memory of anything else has drifted away, into the sweet reverie that you moved through, on the way to here where you may be shaped. You're now in a place where form is hazy, unfocused until we call attention to it. It is as if something, or someone, were helping you to realize more completely a form which already lives in you. It was sleeping. Now it needs to be awakened and put to use. And you're going to enjoy the use to which your form is to be put. You're going to enjoy changes which can later arise when needed. And now, your eyes are pleasantly closed, and you are more in touch with your mind and body than usual. Rather than a haziness, it converts to a peculiar calm which comes over you. Having drifted deeply down, you can assess how your body feels. Now it's relaxed, of course. That's how you came this far, by relaxing. But you're also comfortable, cradled, somehow even more right than usual, as if this form were more real and firm than any before. Maybe you're more in touch with your own comfort and your own body, given how deeply you've come and how the weary, hectic interruptions of the outside world have been left in the past and by the wayside on your descent down the path into this space within your mind. You know what you feel like. You feel the fur covering your arms, insulating you as your muscles move beneath it. Comfortable, powerful, white, luscious fur, you know it's there, gray intertwined as well. Your form is warm, comfortable in its nudity. You squeeze what's in your hand. You feel the pads of your palm rubbing sensitively on the material you're holding. You squeeze it in hand and are utterly at ease in your skin. Your body feels responsive, restful, tranquil. When you breathe, the air passes powerfully along your muzzle, down your throat, into your lungs. Long, slow, deep breathing goes in and out, a state of balance, poise, meditation, and depth. You're almost drowsy, but you are aware of your environment with your keen senses. It's so comfortable lying here. What are you lying on? Well, it would be difficult to check, given how soothed and euphoric you are. You can check later. Right now, something like a nap might be more in your best interests. With the intensifying ease and peace moving through you, your body and your mind are both engulfed in restful comfort. Real comfort. So much so, your jaw hangs a little bit open. You feel your long tongue peeking out of the end of your muzzle. Your muscles are loosening up. Your tongue feels warm, broad, flat. When you breathe, it is a long motion that runs the air over your tongue so you can taste it, brings it in through your nostrils so you can breathe the many complex and wonderful scents around you. In fact, it seems you're breathing down a longer mouth than usual. You remember something about a muzzle earlier, a protrusion, a snout, the breathing passing warm air over your teeth. along your long tongue. Your jaws elongated forward, your tongue is longer, more articulated. A proper puppy muzzle. If you wanted, you could lick all the way along your teeth, your long jaw, or extend your tongue beyond to lap and lick. You twitch your ears. Wait, that's new. But yes, you feel them resting against whatever the wonderful, soothing, right, warm surface you're resting upon is. They are turned back in surprise just now. But gradually you become aware that your pointed ears are perking up and returning to their normal position, to the position that is so comforting and tells you that you don't need to search for sound or respond to anything just now. Your hearing is good. You can hear your own breathing, the fit and natural and normal way that your breathing moves through your body, the warmth of your own breath in, and the ease with which you can direct your muscles to move and shift as you breathe out. Your ears, pointed and more lightly furred than the rest of you, twitch every now and then, but they are settled and comfy just now. It would be wonderful to have someone scratch behind them. You're unsure where the thought arrives from, but it is definitely true. This is not because they're itchy. Just because it would feel right to be scratched behind them and have the muscles there stimulated by delicate hands. As you envision the sensation, you begin to think about your own body even more, inspecting the way you feel, realizing you so seldom take the time to stretch your able muscles and think about every contour of your form. So seldom you'd almost forgotten what this form felt like, and it doesn't do to ignore one's own body. Your able muscles and tendons under the furred flesh which covers. You can scent the air around you, which smells faintly sweet, a tint of spice under it all, though. Your nose is more powerful than you even remember. And here in this resting place, with few conscious thoughts to interrupt, your olfactory senses travel directly to some part of your hindbrain. A wash of colors you see even with your eyes shut. And you love all of them. You squeeze the object in your hand once more, more experimentally. The muscles in your arm respond, tight and strong, your own hand clenched, nails feeling long enough to touch your smooth palm pad. Pause, yes, normal and natural, just like you're supposed to have. You still have the ability to articulate, hold, that's correct. You even feel as if more strength were in them than before. Your body is vital and strong. You feel utterly comfortable. It is quite difficult to recall any complaints or issues with your body, and honestly, even if you did, those complaints would not apply to this body. It is more than a pleasure. It is a gift. In some recess of your mind, you wish you knew from whom. Who gifted you with this pleasured condition and this abundance of strength and vitality? Still, knowledge of who bestowed this form on you is lost for now. Back in the time before your drifting descent took you so completely into comprehension of what your body really ought to be like, dispelled any myth of what it was. You wish you could thank the person who helped you feel as magnificent as you were supposed to, helped you comprehend your real form here. You once more twitch your furred, pointed ears, feeling the way they can lay down on your head to keep out of the wind, the way they flex and move in response to stimuli, the way your furred forepaws can grasp, and the pads provide grip, a little differently shaped than normal forepaws, able to hold and move. You lick your muscle, a long, slow lick, luxuriating in the plush, broad warmth of your tongue, and then spend time rolling your back to get more comfortable. Your belly is exposed, fur being rustled in a faint breeze. But since you know you're safe, it feels nice. The only thing that would feel nicer would be to lay back, expose your belly, and have someone run their hands across it, scratching and rubbing. Once more, you get the sense that that thought is not entirely your own, having some source in the outside as well. But that's all right. Your attention moves down to your hind paws. It attaches to your legs, the feeling of warm fur all over. So while you can still sense the movement of air around you, you are unbothered even by a cooling place. You are comfortable in your nudity and lying there with your tongue dangling, eyes lidded, your form tranquil and just right for you. Those hind paws have sharp, short nails at the tips of each pad, just like your forepaws, but articulated so they would never scratch you, even though you can bend your toe pads forward and back. And of course, the paws themselves are suitably stable to walk upright and comfortable. Not that you'd want to do that right now. It's so much better to lay out like you are, on your back. Growing accustomed to this appropriate body, this body which was already living in your brain and has now been unleashed in the mental space where you are able to explore it, emphasize it, return to it later. And you associate all these features, which your brain is learning about in detail, with the collar held in your hand. Their descriptions slot home as if they were keys already sitting in locks in your mind. All we're doing is realizing a desire, a need for a form more appropriate to you. We are not crafting it. We are just realizing it, bringing it out from your mind, and then emphasizing it. You already had the image. Now you have the sensation. And the collar you are holding will be something of an anchor. What you are holding in your hand is enough. When it is worn, it is your collar. The stored memories of our fun here will come to pass and bring you back to this mental state, to this place. Tongue hanging out slightly, furred ears flicking, belly wonderfully luxurious with fur. A body that is comfortable in the gorgeous, handsome nudity it possesses, but also its warmth and the coat of fur insulating. How great it could be for someone to run their hands through your fur along your body, over your hindquarters, down across your tail. Ah, yes. Though you are lying on your back, your body is shaped appropriately not just for walking, but also for holding things and for your tail to be comfortable beneath you, too. It rests just above your furred buttocks, long but curled slightly, back toward your back. It is like lying on a cushion, perfectly positioned for back support. Perfect puppy design. You rub your back against it, rolling your shoulders and hips, scratching your back on the surface you're lying on. Enjoying the feeling, proud of your tail and of the soft coat you are always coated in, the soft coat that locks warmth in and makes you run even hotter than other puppies, certainly hotter than mere ordinary people. This just means that when you run and exercise, which you will, it's all right to breathe deep and enjoy. You can dress in appropriate layers if you might get cold, but you won't unless it were very cold indeed. It also means you can exercise in the nude as a luxuriously furred puppy gets, so long as you're safe to do so. Speaking of exercise, you can feel your magnificent taut canine musculature, the way you stretch and just let your muscles do what they do. You give another appreciative squeeze of the collar in your hand, understanding you have excellent muscular control. And although you feel quite strong, able to move freely, you know you can be exceedingly gentle and avoid squeezing too hard with your forepaws if you need to. It comes with an ease of movement. You articulate your back, rolling back and forth a bit, but careful not to disturb the surface you're lying on. A sound, a bit like a grunt or a puppy talking, comes out of your mouth. Then you ease backward and take a breather, assessing all the things you've discovered about your body with your eyes closed. Best to review those things before you inspect it any differently. Head to toe. pointed ears that flick and move, that catch all sounds and flatten when you're surprised, that perk up when you hear something you like. Lighter fur on them, then the thicker fur across your head, down your back, along your shoulders, at your neck, expanding in a comfortable warm ruff at your neck, so wonderfully insulating, yet perfectly fine in warmer temperatures as well. Feel the length of your muzzle and the distance air has to travel to move down it, along which your broad, long, expanded tongue runs. Then your furred body, your fuzzy belly, there to be rubbed or touched, or to be cradled against someone when you hold them in your strong arms, gripping them with your muscular forepaws. Additionally, the curve of your thighs, your long, elongated, furred hind paws, allowing you to stand perfectly, with their short, hard nails. Your body itself feeling more flexible, articulable, able to curl up and be comfortable anywhere. Every feature and detail of your body so natural and automatic, so powerfully anchored to what you are holding, knowing that when you wear it, memories of this time will return vividly, leave you panting and powerful and a happy, very pettable puppy. But above and beyond that, the canine features condense into a wonder at just what else might have changed, and at how the changes have been happening. It might finally be time to open your eyes and inspect your surroundings, to look at your body in detail, or at least to open your mind's eye, even as a separate physical set stay closed. Well, let's see, have you inspected everything? Well, yep. Well, time to open your eyes then and see. Only after this lengthy inspection of your own status do you realize you are not simply lying down where you were. Someone is cradling you. That is what you've been lying on, rolling against. Your body is perpendicular to theirs. Their delicate frame is holding your more muscled one across her lap. You realize by scent it is a her. And then the voice, which resonates and instills in you a desire to grow silent and simply follow. Well, hello there, pet. Shh, keep your eyes closed. Your mind was especially open to being changed around a bit. I got rid of some clutter, brought you closer to where you were, and I took advantage of this. You feel her fingers run over the hand, which is holding the collar. It just seems so appropriate, doesn't it? All those words you heard, all those ideas you had, they weren't all yours, sweetie. I helped shape you. But that's what we both wanted, wasn't it? You see, if I hadn't intervened, you might have just become a less useful, less sexy kind of doggy. You might have lacked these big, strong arms. She runs her hands over your shoulders, and the sensation is just as good when, you know, you remember, when she was stroking behind your ears. The feeling is the same, being petted, acknowledged, given attention, and you know that later you will be given the opportunity to attend her right back. That seems to be what she wanted. And my intervention left you wagging and walking in ways we can both have fun with. Her hands trail down across your belly. You wonder if it is headed between your legs, but she stops short with a grin in her voice. Not yet, pet. You can't really see her except dainty hands now stopping on your belly. But belly rubs are quite good, too, as euphoric pulses run up your spine. You allow yourself to arch into her hands, completely following her will. No matter how amazingly vital and powerful you feel like this, you know you should have someone to follow, that you'll bend to her will and especially to anything her hands and voice might want to do to you, or want you to do for her. In response to that voice, all other thoughts in your head get even quieter than they already were. Your musculature seems to tense. You long to put it to use for her purposes. Then, All the thoughts in your head move out of the way and let her voice be the most important and prominent thing you hear. Your turn to hold me now, pet. After all, why make those big, strong arms if we aren't going to use them? She sits you up a bit, moving back into your lap. You can barely see her because she pushes your head backward and runs her hands over the underside of your neck. But it is very possible for you to grasp around her in strong arms. Her form is indistinct, as though it would be wrong to look directly at it. Instead, you look at yourself, seeing your gray and white mixed fur, its length, your paws wrapped around her, arms cradling about her shoulders and chest, practically enfolding her in your confidence and strength, and she seems to like it, judging by the way she squirms back against you. You see your body for the first real time, that luxurious gray and white alternating coat, fluffy and thick enough, though you only really feel the undercoat, which insulates to just the right temperature. While you may be cradling her, she seems disinclined to let you have it all your own way, and one of her hands knots into the fur at the back of your neck, pulling it back. The result is a feeling of profound submission and loyalty. You know there is so much you can do to serve her goals, to serve your mistress. Make her happier. Keep yourself how she likes you, how she has shaped you. You accordingly lower your eyes, lower your head, letting her grab the fur at the back of your neck. Your eyes even cross a bit and your tongue hangs out as you pant. Then her hands migrate. They move behind your ears. It feels good and one of your legs twitches, but you keep your lap stable and your arms around her as the scratching sends pulses of yes, yes, yes into your brain with every little movement. It feels right, and holding her feels right, too. Her hands go off your head, and you're a little sad at the absence of the petting, but you know she's setting the agenda. The hands go lower. She turns a little in your lap so she can lay them flat against your taut chest. Down from there, across your flesh, sliding to your hips and pulling you a little closer, so you scoot forward to give her more of your expansive lap to settle on. She's not that large, but she is in control. You follow her movements. Now, it took so long to do this that you're going to have to rest a bit before we make any other changes. Just a few changes to your mind. Relax, pet. She pats your head again. Your eyelids close, drowsy, drooping, lowering. Happy just to be where you are, to be cradling her, to know she appreciates you doing so. You know what I enjoy, pet. So soon we'll train you even more. After all, even well-meaning puppies need some training to keep being well-meaning. Habits are important. She scratches behind your ears again. Rather than merely rubbing your forehead and muzzle, she scritches, digging her hands in. The euphoric pleasure intensifies and you give in to it, clearing your mind in a blaze of pleasure, tongue hanging out a bit. This is good and right. This is the appropriate place to be. Then her voice echoes in your ears, and you return to yourself a little as her hands slack off their petting and move away. You'll hold on to that collar, and every time you put it on, you'll remember what I've shaped and molded. But our next treat will be something that'll affect you whether you're wearing it or not. Aren't you looking forward to that, too? Your curly tail wags to the right, and she smiles. A good doggy trainer knows what that means. Your eyelids are already drooping, but a controlled droop. You're not drifting off. Instead, you are drifting after her, pulled along on a leash made of her words, stronger than any simple real one, connected both to your mind and to the collar you are still holding. And so in that haze of horny pleasure, you drift away from your own thoughts, losing conscious thought to her touch, which now continues, your mind fading away and waiting for the next time she will shape you. You think of all the little lessons she's drummed into your mind, even when you didn't know it was her who was doing it. the feeling of your pointed ears flicking with surprise, of your furred body and the pleasure of its muscular movement, of your ability to simply follow and allow yourself to be subsumed in that desire to submit, which you realize is part of your puppy persona and need, that any time that collar goes on your neck, from this moment onward, you're going to find yourself panting and breathing deeply, just like you were. You're going to find yourself existing as the pleasured, submissive pup, looking for an opportunity to do something that will please your mistress, looking for a chance to follow, to exist for her pleasure, and in the throes of it, to simply follow always. A pleasure that lives in you, that grows more potent every single time that you think of her. Every single time you put the collar on, or you return to listen, because listening makes you more wrapped up in who you are and what she has helped to make you. A desire to find new ways to serve, new ways to submit, lives in you now as a byproduct of bringing out what you already wanted, what already lived in you waiting for its chance to be expressed, to live for her desire to be fulfilled and for you to take better and better care of yourself, ensuring that the next time she hears your voice, the next time you hear hers and learn from it, it is with a mindset of being comfortable, healthy, trained and exercised as a good doggy should be. For her pleasure and her need to be fulfilled by your fulfillment of a persona you already wanted, that already lived in you, and which she simply allowed out into the world to affect you, to influence what you do, how you do it, and how much of a good puppy you feel like when you put on that collar. The collar is always there as an available trigger and anchor for who you have become and the lessons you've learned here, listening and thinking of her, thinking of serving, cradling her in your strong arms and giving her reason to train you further. That's what you want, and you don't want to be unappreciative. You want to be a good, courteous puppy who learns the lessons set out for you. You've been gifted and uplifted into this form by her desire to feel you, holding her, training yourself, to know that your devotion is real and absolute. All of these things drive home, but you know you're going to need more training, perhaps in different forms, to truly fulfill her expectations of you, a fulfillment that you will relish, and that you know will come with more petting. And so, in that horny haze of pleasure still, your last thought is of your wagging tail and her controlling guidance. You slip away into yourself, feeling the wonderful reality of your pleasured furry self and your waiting, docile doggy mind, following and drifting down, aware of what will happen the next time you wear your collar, knowing that every time you listen to any file, but especially to something about your good doggy self, you will find yourself picturing your doggy form, the real you and its appropriate, pleasured existence, and therefore it will be you who returns here next time, and the next time you listen, you'll even more fully sympathize with the fact that you really are the doggy who exists in those paws, those perked ears and wagging tail, that's who you were before you began, it's who you picture when you trance, it's who you are. It is the mental image made real, dispelling the deceptions of the boring everyday, which would normally keep you from seeing this pleasured self when you trance out. That is out of the way with the help of that alluring womanly voice following you, living in you, influencing your perspective and your learning and your understanding of the self that was there all along anyway. Feeling pleasured in the knowledge that it was her who shaped you, guided you, influenced your appropriately learned form. A lesson you will not soon forget. Puppies do love to be trained. And your eyes closed as they are, and your mind drifting as it is now, are the perfect receptacles for further training. Drifting. Relaxing. Awaiting the next command.